This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. Gustav Mahler was not only a great composer, he was also one of the world's most famous conductors. And one of his greatest frustrations was his inability to find time to sit down and write during the busy concert season. He would set aside time to compose during the summer, but sometimes even that was not enough. When he started writing his Seventh Symphony in the summer of 1904, he wrote to a friend that the symphony would consist of three night pieces, the finale, Bright Day, as foundation for the whole, the first movement. End quote. But that's where things started to bog down. He took the next season away from it, but when he came back to the symphony the next summer, he still could not find a way into it. He had been staying by Lake Vort in Austria, where Brahms had taken vacations, but he took off for the mountains, hoping for inspiration there. Nothing came to him, and he returned in a deep depression. He stepped off the train to be rowed across the lake, and as he said later, with the first dipping of the oars into the water, the theme of the introduction, or rather its rhythm, its atmosphere, came to me. End quote. From that point on, he threw himself into the piece and had essentially completed it within a couple of months. He thought about premiering it with the New York Symphony the very next season, but knew that American audiences were not familiar enough with his work, and that with the way this one was shaping up, it would be that much more difficult. So he gave it to the Prague Symphony, which was not as good an orchestra, but he would have plenty of rehearsal time. He made revisions every night after rehearsal and refused any offers of help, even though his assistants included Otto Klemperer and Bruno Walter, who would go on to become two of the century's greatest conductors. The symphony proved to be too difficult, even for the audiences in Prague, and the reception was more respectful than enthusiastic. Mahler would eventually conduct the Seventh only once more, in Munich a few weeks later. Because of the two movements that Mahler called Nachtmusiks, or night musics, the symphony is sometimes called the Song of the Night, though Mahler did not call it that, and it has no specific program. Based on what he wrote about it, though, it is clearly a victory symphony, like Beethoven's Fifth, a journey from night into day. The opening is the music that came to Mahler as he was rowed across Lake Vort, but there's also a suggestion of a funeral procession. The transition from the slow introduction into the main body of the movement is right out of Beethoven's Seventh. And it's just one of Mahler's tributes in this work to the classical symphonic model of Haydn and Mozart. As he settles into a new key, Mahler brings in a beautiful new theme in the violins. It's full of yearning and verve and rises to a tremendous climax. Then it merges merges into the second of the three marches we've heard. This symphony is full of marches, both of the nighttime and the daylight variety. At the focal point of the development section comes what may be the most enchanted minute in all of Mahler's works. As he draws a veil over the second march. Mahler may have been the most self-referential of all composers. This moment brings back the opening of his Symphony No. 1. The veiled march rises to another ecstatic climax, and then the violins suddenly plunge into a return of the slow introduction. The recapitulation is compressed, and the coda is fierce and abrupt. The opening of the first night music movement is a minute of preparation and search. Then a tremendous slide downward starts the movement proper. It's an artfully stylized version of an orchestra warming up, then easing into the body of the work. The theme itself is part march, part song, which gains poignancy by alternating between major and minor, one of Mahler's favorite musical devices. The Dutch conductor Willem Mengelberg wrote that this movement was inspired by Rembrandt's Night Watch, but Mahler himself only cited the painting as a point of comparison. He called it a walk at night, like a patrol. It's full of the contrasts between light and dark that Rembrandt would have recognized as chiaroscuro. The initial march theme is followed by a broadly swinging cello tune. This is another one of those Mahler melodies that sound naive at first, but if you listen closely, is full of surprises. It's an example of what one writer has called Mahler's way of turning a cliché into an event. He brings it back in a more lush version with a new counter theme in the woodwinds. And suddenly, we hear cowbells in the distance. This is another look back. They played a prominent role in Mahler's Sixth Symphony. So did this sound of major falling into minor. There's a gradual breakdown. There's a stroke of cymbals and tam-tam, and then nothing is left but a cello harmonic and a ping from the harp. Mahler Mahler's direction for the next movement, the scherzo, is schattenhaft, which literally means like a shadow, but in the sense of ghostly or spectral. The drums and low strings have a disagreement about what the opening tone should be. Notes scurry around, cobwebs brush your face, and witches step out in a ghostly parody of a waltz. The trio brings some consolation. Almost. Then the scherzo returns, things begin to unravel and eventually disintegrate. If the first night music was a nocturnal patrol, the second is a serenade. Including those two instruments that we associate with the romantic serenade, the guitar and mandolin. There's lots of swooning. And after one more impassioned climax, a gentle ending. After these four very different night scenes, a thunderous tattoo of drums announces the brightness of day. The horns and bassoon are the first instruments to be roused, and they lead the orchestra in a spirited fanfare that sounds like a parody of Wagner's Die Meistersinger. Mahler's friend William Ritter pointed out that Mahler never quotes Wagner, but re-begins the overture to take it far beyond. He uses Die Meistersinger as a symbol for a good-humored victory finale and refers to it throughout this movement. Another major-minor cadence, referring back to the Sixth Symphony, leads to a pastoral scene. With some stomping Austrian country music. The music here is all over the harmonic map, until suddenly we hear something we haven't heard for a long time, more than an hour in fact. It's the fiery march from the first movement. Actually, it's more like a series of attempts to inject it into the proceedings. The movement goes through more wild mood swings, another Mahler trademark, and just as it seems as though the attempts to bring back the opening march have been abandoned, the drums stir everything up again. the theme enters in glory. The circle is complete. Mahler's Seventh is still the least performed and least recorded of his symphonies. Even though the night musics and the scherzo made immediate first impressions, the opening and the finale took much longer, which is fitting, since Mahler began writing this work in the middle, and it was only in the dark of night that he found his way to the bright daylight of the finale. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.